right. Thank you, Anthony. Timeless hymn there, and little did I or Anthony know, we'll line up really well with our message tonight. Let's talk about that victory that we have in Christ this evening. And so take your Bibles and turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 8. And we will pick back up in this marvelous chapter in God's Word. We started about 3-4 Sundays ago. Romans chapter number 8. We're going to be in this chapter for a few more weeks, specifically in this portion of Scripture, these specific verses for a few more weeks. We begin our reading in verse number 35. Verse number 35. Notice what the Bible says. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, for we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Here's our verse tonight. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me remind you, because we've taken a few weeks off, that the 8th chapter of the book of Romans is, in my opinion, particularly a chapter that can be claimed by believers as one of the great chapters of assurance, the assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ. I suppose that there are some folks who believe that God is not powerful enough to save you from time until eternity. And I would assume that if those people were amongst us, they would believe that the only place that you could find any assurance in the Bible, if you can find it, is in places like John 3:16, or in the first letter of John later on in the New Testament. But I'm telling you, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible on the subject of the assurance of salvation and even eternal security is Romans chapter number 8. It is a chapter that begins with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. And Paul makes these personal references to you and I. He's talking about believers and he's talking to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to really notice in this passage that we've read that Paul's going to present two very different viewpoints for the Christian life. The first is found in verse number 36, where he says, as it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know how that verse makes you feel tonight, but I think that is a very, very weak viewpoint of the Christian life, of Christianity, verse 36. I think Paul is saying, here's one particular viewpoint. It's the viewpoint of the carnal man, if you will. It's the viewpoint of the world as they look at us Christians, as they look at our hope in Christ, as they do not understand spiritual things. They can't understand spiritual things. They think that we are simply throwing our lives away. Of course, you know that he's referencing to Roman Christians. Perhaps this would have applied to the persecution that would come to them as the Roman people would see them die at the stake and be burned at the stake and give up their life in the Colosseum and the other arenas because they would not worship the image of the Caesar, but they would say Jesus Christ is Lord. Perhaps the Romans would point at these Christians and say, you're like sheep for the slaughter. It's exactly what you are. But then Paul says, that's one view, but there's a totally different viewpoint. That's the viewpoint of the victim. But in the next verse, verse 37, he offers a different viewpoint, and that is the viewpoint of victory. He says, nay. Talking about verse number 36, he says, oh, no, that's not it at all. He says, no, he says, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him, that is, through Jesus, through God, that loved us. Tonight, as we think on that, I really want to take that phrase, more than conquerors, and deal with that this evening. I want you to think about what kind of viewpoint do you have for your own Christian life. What you look for oftentimes is what you'll see. What you think you are a lot of the times is really what you become. And one of the great barriers, one of the great dangers that we have as believers in Christ when it comes to living a life of victory that Anthony just sang about, when it comes to enjoying the salvation that we have instead of just enduring religion, one of those barriers is the barrier of not having the right kind of viewpoint. You'll remember in the book of Numbers, I believe it is, when Israel came to a place where they were to enter in the promised land, they remembered that God had offered the promised land to Abraham, their father, and God said, look, I promise it, you possess it. And you'll recall that they began to doubt the promise of God, and they thought that they had better check up on God. And by the way, let me interject this, that's always a mistake when you think you have to check up on God and His Word. And so they sent out 12 spies. You'll recall there came back two different reports, two different viewpoints. There was the viewpoint of victims, and there was the viewpoint of victory. There were 10 of those men who said, oh, we're victims. We're victims. We are grasshoppers in their sight, the Bible says. And then when you read on the Bible, you'll find out that they saw themselves as victims and as grasshoppers, and really, that's what they became in their thinking and in their faith. They had very little faith because of that viewpoint. But there were two other men, a man by the name of Joshua and Caleb. They didn't bring a report back of victims and victimology, but one of victory. They said, oh no, fellas, you got it all wrong. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. As a matter of fact, they said, we are well able to possess it. And they saw themselves not as grasshoppers, but they saw themselves as giants. And in reality, they saw giants as grasshoppers, and they saw victory that God had promised them. And really, it was their viewpoint. It changed their attitude toward the promises of God, so much so that they were the ones that were blessed of God and honored by God and allowed to enter into the promised land. But all of the other spies would die in the wilderness with all those generations because of that victim viewpoint, rather than having a viewpoint of victory, trusting God and taking God at His word. What they thought they were, they became. What they looked for, in reality, they saw. Now, applying that to where we are in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, in the eyes of the carnal man, in the eyes of the world, perhaps there's a viewpoint that you and I were counted as sheep for the slaughter. But Paul says, and he's trying to get you and I to look at ourselves and look at the Christian life as a whole through the eyes of God and see how God looks at us through His eyes. And so tonight, let's break down that text, that specifically that phrase, more than conquerors, and I've titled this message tonight, The Viewpoint of Victory. And I want you to notice, first of all, as you look at this passage of Scripture, notice with me, first of all, the summary of our victory. It's found in verse 37. He says, nay, no, no, verse 36 is not true. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The summary of our victory is simply this: in Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. Now, some Bible scholars, one particularly put it this way, he said Paul had to create a new word when he said more than conquerors. It takes three English words to really translate the word that he used out of the Greek, but what he's really saying is something like this: We are surpassing anything that's ever been known in a conqueror. We are overly victorious. To put it in some language we might understand a little better, we are Super Bowl victorious. We are world champion victorious because of Jesus Christ. We're victors in Christ. Now, my problem, I'll speak for myself, I'll see if you have the same, is that I have the wrong viewpoint a lot of times in life. When I was, my undergrad is in history, and when I was taking history, I forget the battle it was, but one of the battles in World War II, it was said that it looked like the Germans, it was between the Germans and the American forces, looked like the Germans were going to win, And then it would change real quick, and it looked like the Americans were going to win. It would change back and back, and it went back and forth, back and forth. They'd run the American flag up, take it back down, run the German flag up, and they did that a few times, switching back and forth until the Americans did finally win the battle. I'll speak for myself. I think in my life, I know in my life, maybe you as well, many times, man, I switch back and forth from being a victor to a victim, between victory and defeat, and I'm always running up a different flag. Paul says, no. Not only do we have victory, he says, but we've got more than victory. We don't even have a word to describe what we have. It is surpassing victory. Now some of us believe that God's going to win the battle. And you've heard the statement. I've read the end of the book. I know what's going to take place. And we have read the book of Revelation. We know how all of this is going to play out. And the Bible teaches us that God's going to win over the devil, that right is going to be forever on the throne, that wrong is forever going to be off the throne. We know that. We know the last chapter of the book. We know what it says. And yet how many of us, from time to time, we find ourselves living day to day like we really doubt that it's going to take place, or like the outcome between God and Satan is in some kind of doubt. Or maybe we're not that far, but we act as though maybe it's a close race. We know that God's going to win, but we believe the devil's awfully close. That's not what Paul is saying here. That phrase, more than conquerors, there's a lot more to it than what you can see in the English language. Paul is saying we're going to skunk the devil. Paul is saying that he's not even going to score a point. That you're not going to win this thing, Christian, in a two-minute overtime. Paul says, I'll tell you what you are. You are over-surpassing in your victory in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what would help the Church of Jesus Christ today in the eyes of the world, if we would start behaving and believing like victors instead of victims. That's the summary of it. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors because our foe is the greatest foe that's ever been fought, the devil and his forces of hell. We are more than conquerors because the length of our warfare is very long. It starts the very moment you accept Jesus Christ until the very moment you are glorified with Christ and finalized in Christ, when Christ shall rule and reign forever and ever. We're more than conquerors because ours is an eternal victory. You don't just win a battle for a day or for a season as some countries do. We are eternally victorious. We're more than conquerors because we receive rewards that will far surpass any spoils of victory that any conqueror has ever known. We're more than conquerors because our cause is infinitely superior than any cause that's ever been fought for. It's the cause of Jesus Christ, the cause of right. And Lord Nelson had beaten the French in the Battle of the Nile. They asked him to describe the victory, and I love his response. He said, the word victory cannot even begin to describe what just happened. And so Paul says the word conqueror cannot even begin to describe what you have as a Christian in Jesus Christ. That's the summary of the victory. More than conquerors. But then notice with me, secondly, notice with me the scope of it, the scope of it. Again, it's in verse 37. He says, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Now, break down that phrase, in all these things. It's a word that literally means in all the things that surround us. And so you've got to take it in its context. Now, as we look at the scope of this victory, we're going to find out that we are conquerors over the things that are physical, that is, things you can see with your physical eyes. And we're conquerors over things that are invisible, that you cannot physically see. And if you look at verse 35, you'll see that we are, notice the physical world, that we're more than conquerors over the physical world. And he's going to ask a pretty important question or two. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then notice this, shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. And so in this realm, he's talking about the victory that we have over things that we can see, and he says, even in those, we're more than conquerors. That is, in the present tense, right now, we are right now as much as we will ever be in heaven, as much as we will ever be when we've been in heaven 10,000 times 10,000 years, we are more than conquerors over these things right now. Right now. Well, what are these things? Well, notice a few of them. He talks about tribulation. The word tribulation is a word that I think is best understood as pressure. In those days, it was the pressure of being perhaps found out that you were a believer, that you were a Christian. It was the pressure that would come from friends. It was the pressure that would come like this. Oh, you're a Christian, therefore you're fired. You're a Christian, therefore we're going to make life really hard on you. You're a Christian and you don't worship the emperor, therefore you're on the blacklist. And it was things like that. And there are all kinds of pressures. In our day, there are similar kinds of pressures. Pressures from the devil, pressures from the world, pressures in the home, pressures at work, pressures at school. We live in a world where people know a whole lot about pressure. Now, the Bible does not say that we are conquerors out of these things. Do you notice that preposition? We are conquerors in these things. Now that's important. That's important. It doesn't say to be a Christian means you won't have any pressure. The Bible never says that. It says to be a Christian means that you will be a conqueror even in the midst of pressure. When he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" what he's saying is that there is nothing that can happen to you that would ever make, that could make Christ, that would mean that Christ has stopped loving you. So I don't care tonight what kind of pressure you have in your life. He loves you. He loves you. I don't care how you reacted to that pressure. I hope you reacted in faith. But if you didn't, He loves you. He loves you. I hope you reacted in submission to His will. But if you didn't, He loves you. And He can teach you through the pressure what His will is for your life. Nothing can happen. What else can happen to you? Well, He mentions distress. What about distress? Distress is another word for anguish. And the word really depicted a very narrow place, a very cramped place. It'd be like being in an elevator with 20 people and it getting stuck. That's the idea here. It's anguish. It's stress that comes from being pressed where there's no way out. And Paul says that it's going to come to you as a Christian. Mark it down, it's going to come. But Paul says that does not mean that God has stopped loving you. He mentions persecution. Of course, you know the Bible talks about persecution in other places. It says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Not some, not a few, but all. In other words, if you have not suffered some type of persecution for your faith in Jesus, if you're living godly, you will. You will. I'm not saying they're going to beat you with a cat of nine tails. And I'm not saying they're going to throw you in prison. The time might come in America where something like that takes place. But here were some Roman Christians who were facing that kind of persecution. Those were real threats that they were facing. And Paul said, even if you are in prison, it doesn't mean that God has stopped loving you. He loves you just the same. Then Paul says you're a conqueror, and he mentions famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Those are things that are related to war and warfare. They lived in a day of wars and rumors of wars and turmoil and strife. And yet Paul says that even when wars come, even when you suffer hunger, when you suffer from a lack of necessities of life, and even when you don't have clothing, when your life is in danger, when someone's trying to take your life, Paul says, oh, it doesn't mean that God has stopped loving you. If you go back in this chapter, Paul's already told them from the get-go that they could never be condemned because they're in Christ. And now he's saying, it's almost like some of them are writing back and saying, well, if we're never going to be condemned and God loves us, then why are all these things happening to us? Paul's writing to them and he's saying, look, whatever happens to you in this life really, really does not mean, it cannot mean, it never will mean that you will be separated from the love of Christ. So there are those things we can see. But notice the second part of the scope of our victory. He's going to talk about those invisible powers. Verse 38, he talks about them and he says this, for I'm persuaded. Now that's a good word. That's a strong word. It's a heart word. It's not just knowledge. It's not I'm persuaded because of intellectual knowledge that I gain from reading a book or something like that. I'm persuaded deep down in my heart because I've experienced it, because I know it's true. And if you read what the Apostle Paul went through, you'll realize that everything he mentions here, he's experienced. And he can say, I've been in jail. I've had my life jeopardized. I've had Satan buffet me. I've had the devil challenge me. I've had the sometimes visible powers of the devil and sometimes the invisible powers of hell come against me. And Paul says, even now, I am persuaded, fully convinced. I know that it does not mean that God has stopped loving me. What are these invisible powers? Notice what they are. He says death. Of course, death certainly doesn't mean that God has stopped loving me. I think Paul knew at this point that his death was soon coming. And he's writing, reminding himself in a sense, and certainly reminding them, that when the chilly waters are in front of me, oh, God still loves me. I'm more than a conqueror, because the one who loves me is the one who conquered death. You're a conqueror. Then he says life. Life. I'm persuaded that life can't do it. He's talking about here the uncertainty of life. The fact that we don't know what's going to take place and happen tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to be here or not tomorrow. You don't know whether you're going to have a job or not tomorrow. You don't know what the economy's going to do tomorrow. You don't know these things. They are uncertainties in life. Paul's writing to him and he's saying, whatever takes place in life, it cannot separate you from God's love if you are in Christ, if you're saved. He mentions angels. It could mean God's mighty angels. I think he means Satan's angels. It really doesn't make any difference. Angels can't do anything to affect your relationship to God. That's between you and God. They can't separate you from God's love. Then he says, nor things present, that is, whatever's happening right now in your life. Maybe it's made you doubt the love of God. It shouldn't. Paul says, whatever it is, just know this, it hadn't separated you from his love. Then he says, nor things to come. He says, I don't care what could possibly happen. Stop worrying about what if this happens or what if that happens. Paul says it doesn't make any difference. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Then he says, nor height, nor depth. Nothing in the great beyond, nothing in the unknown, nothing that might be out there that you don't know of can separate you. And then he says, just in case I forgot something else, nor any other creature. When I read that, my heart goes, praise God. Praise God. Paul said it takes in the visible, it takes in the invisible, it takes in the physical, it takes in the supernatural, it takes in the angels of God, it takes in the dominions of Satan. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can happen. Nothing. That means God has stopped loving you. That's a big scope of this victory. That's a big scope. Then notice lastly the source of this victory. Notice in verse 37 again, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, you are not victorious tonight because you're stronger than the devil. You are not victorious tonight because you're smarter and wiser than the devil. You are not victorious tonight because you study your Bible and you know what the Bible says. You're not victorious tonight because you have the ability to live a good moral life. You're not victorious tonight because you've been coming to church for X amount of years. You're not victorious tonight because you're a Baptist. Friend, you are victorious because he loved you. And that's it. You are victorious tonight through Jesus Christ. And let me interject this. You and I didn't have a single thing in the world to do with that. The only thing we did was receive him. Receive him. And you have him. When you have him, you have the one who is victorious. And that's the victory that's given. We are vitally linked through Christ. Vitally linked through Christ. It's not our victory, but it's victory through him that loved us. It's kind of like the little boy who came home from school one day and his mama said, how was your day? He said, it was awesome. It was awesome. She said, "How'd the ball game go?" He said, "Mama, we won today. We won today." He was a little fella. He was the water boy. He didn't even play on the football team. He wasn't even old enough. And yet he came home and he said, "Mama, we won. We won. We won." He wasn't in the game, and yet he came home, "We won. We won." What he meant was, my team won. That's my team. I can identify with that. I can identify because my team is the winner. I'm a winner, and I can rejoice when I read this verse, knowing that I'm in Christ, saying, "We won. We won. We win." My friend, you and I were sinners lost in our sin. When Jesus went to the cross and there paid the sin debt that you owed, that I owed, that could never be paid in and of ourselves, rose again from the grave to be victorious. And one day he's going to come again, and we're going to meet him in the air if we're alive after the dead in Christ rise first. We're going to be able to look at the devil as we go passing through the air, and we're going to say, "We won. We won. We won." And we didn't even play. We didn't even play. But we win because the captain of our team won the victory for us. And my friend, that is the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I ask you tonight, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ tonight, you don't have to be afraid of life or death or principalities or powers of the future or the present or things to come. You don't have to be afraid of hell or all of Satan's demonic forces. You don't have to be afraid of anything if you're in Christ. But you need to understand, on the contrary, if you're not in Christ, then you have everything to fear. Everything. What I mean by that is God doesn't promise you anything. He doesn't promise you safety. He doesn't promise you comfort. He doesn't promise you heaven. He doesn't promise you forgiveness. God doesn't promise you any forgiveness or any power over the devil or anything that the devil might bring into your life. You are promised absolutely nothing except this: if you will come to Christ, if you will come to Christ, then and only then, He'll change your life. He'll change your life, and He'll put this in your heart that you are more than a conqueror over everything that can happen through Jesus Christ. But it's only if you'll receive Him. If you'll receive Him. And if you will, on the basis of this book, nothing can happen to you that will mean He'll stop loving you and that you'll stop being His child. Victory in Jesus. More than conquerors. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight,